I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out. The bad seed, the broken seed, the bad apple with the bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad, under bad tape, bad lot, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Magic City Studios in the Barella Palace, right across the river through the woods from where Granny just got a fresh sack of the cherry chasm, and she refuses to go to bed because she's so baked in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags to break the traffic, some kind of fashion, shake it up, should do, but all my friends to come around, flood the flood the party up, rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown, what a mess, it's tied to tatter, my brain splattered all over Manhattan, should do, be sure I got, ooh, oh, woo, woo, I think I might have caught something from Keith. Hey, what's kicking? I'm Pharrell with your boy Mafia tonight. He's been on a tear. It's just really unbelievable. For, like, the last 3 days, I'm just going to tell people because I'm not even going to mess around with this anymore. So what's happened is we moved from channel 204 to 159 on Sirius. And there was like a big rollout and a big marketing. And then they had like social media blasts and billboards and banners and just all day long. Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, all of the social medias, TikTok, everything. There's this constant, you know, news of the move to higher ground, higher real estate, a higher end neighborhood into 159. And then what happened was, obviously, there's still a lot of, you know, stupid morons out there, which I'm a fan of, the Moron Club. And they just don't understand that we've moved to 159. And it's just constant. They're barreling in like waves, the amount of people saying, what happened to Sports Grid on Sirius? It's gone. What's the deal? What's happened? Why have you done this to me? And then I sit there and try to answer them over and over and over and over. I try to answer these things. And then I just get to the point where I just can't do it anymore. It's like, it's all day long. It's like porno. It just won't stop. And I just, you know, at some point, I just can't take it anymore. I just can't get involved. I can't just sit there and just keep answering every single person's questions about where we've moved. What's happened? How come you're not on Sirius? What happened to your show? I used to listen to your show. It's gone now. Satellite doesn't carry you anymore. You're screwed. Your show's finished. Your career's over. I heard all that. So I called up Mafia. And I said, listen, we got a problem. And he said, what's the problem? He said, I don't have time for problems. And I was like, listen, all these people are harassing me about where has the show gone, that they can't find it on satellite radio anymore. And I'm like, listen, Mafia, I told you, I've tried to answer every single one of the you know, questions that people are asking me, and I'm trying to give them an informed decision of that, you know, we've moved to 159. I just try to let everybody know. And he's like, he's just not having it. He's like done listening to me. He's not listening to fans. He's not listening to social media. He's like, you know, I don't have time for this. So he said, I'm just going to end it once and for all. I said, well, what are you going to do? First of all, we welcome all of our radio affiliates, Sirius 159. This whole story is about you, so you might as well get on board right now. And so, Mightier 1090 in San Diego, near to you, wanna do, you wanna know. Sports Map, Sports Byline, Armed Forces, happy Veterans Day for your service. Hoorah, soldier, hoorah. We honor all vets today, tomorrow, Thursday, Veterans Day. God bless you. Thank you for your service. So anyway, we've been telling the story of how we've moved to Channel 159 from 204 to 159. And I tell everyone, the company told everyone, banners, billboards, messages on every social media platform, constantly all day ramming it down people's throats, constantly updating them, constantly tweeting, constantly putting up messages, telling everyone you know, your friends, your colleagues, everyone. It's spread like the COVID. That's what it's done. It's spread like the COVID. But still, people ask all day long, 24/7, where has Sports Grid gone? It's not on satellite anymore. What happened to the channel? You guys suck. You went away. Apparently, you weren't doing good enough because they got rid of you. I've heard all of it. So I called Mafia. Mafia said, I don't have time for this. And I said, listen, I've done everything I can. I keep answering these questions. And Mafia said, I'm going to handle this. So for 3 days, Mafia has been going around all over the Southern Hemisphere, flying around. And what he's decided to do is anyone that doesn't know we've moved to Channel 159, he gives them a facial scrum. He goes right up to their house. He just walks right to the door. They open the door and he just facial scrums them. Anyone that doesn't know we've moved to 159 now has been facial scrummed. If you haven't been facial scrummed yet and you ask a stupid question of where we've gone, he's coming to your house. He's coming like probably tonight, overnight. He's like Santa Claus. He's everywhere, and he's facial scrum city. I mean, you are going to get it like an NHL facial scrum. He's going to rub a glove, a leather glove, in your face and tear up your face and nose and your whiskers and everything. He may do it to your wife.
You were born with it. It's always been there. It's been the basis of many, many friendships and connection with people who just know
and think like you do.
It's made life fun. Welcome home
to the winning edge.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network. You're listening to Farrell on the Bench with Scott Farrell.
I love that garage metal they got going there. That only took 2 years. Anyway, it is truly incredible. I can't stop thinking about it because, you know, most people would want me to just, like, you know, talk about the games tonight, which I'll do eventually here. But I just think it's so fascinating that Mafia is, he's like traveling the globe. Just, he's so mad that people don't know that we've moved to Channel 159 on Sirius from 204, that he's just had it. And he's gone on a, he's like the Blues Brothers. He's like on a mission from God, and he's going around. And instead of like nicely telling people that, you know, we've moved, and, you know, in a classy, gentlemanly way, he's just like going right to people's home. And when they open the door, he facial scrums them. Like, they don't even see it coming. It's just like the minute they open the door, he's like, he just spins their face with a hockey glove and a smelly one at that. He took one from like, I think it was like from 94, 95, maybe the year that the Rangers won the cup. He got a smelly Ranger glove from the locker room at the Garden. And that was his souvenir. He got the smelliest glove he could find from like a practice rink morning session, soaking wet with smelly body odor and just absolute, just arse smell. And he just goes around the globe, sticking it like the facial scrub. Not only does it affect someone, like their face gets torn up and they get leather rips on their face and little nicks and cuts and scrapes, but they get this horrific odor of arse that just sticks to their face for like upwards of 3 to 4 days. Now I have to ask him about it.
Don't keep me around for finesse. I'm here for brute force. And you know what? If the pain is not going to remind you, the smell will.
I mean, what has it been like for you to like go on in this mission from God and to just destroy people's faces with just a spinning, leathery, old, like just hard as a rock glove that smells like arse?
I mean, in one word, I think it would be fulfilling. I mean, it's just a fulfillment of my, you know, my life's work, my crowning achievement, and my my dreams.
So have people, the reaction has been, is it the smell? Is it the facial cuts? Is it the shock? Is it the shock of them getting facial scrubbed by you at their door? Or is it that, are they actually, some of them, honored to be facial scrubbed by Mafia?
You know, much like, you know, the people in the NHL back in the day, it's a rite of passage, really, to take that beating sometimes, you know, from the greats, like a Probert or a Domi, you know, just like the guys that would come through. And, you know, if you want to make it and you want to truly say you were in the show, you got to take that beating. So that's what it's like for them right now.
So, like, has the message got through to them, like that they understand when you're doing it, you're like, we're on 159 now, you stupid idiot, and you just keep facial scrumming them? Do they get it? Do they say, all right, I got it, 159? Or do they just say, what is happening here? What is happening to me right now? Call the police, call 911, get help, get my wife, anybody. Honey, help. What's happening when you do it? Do they say, okay, I got it, 159? Or do they scream for help like a girly man?
Oh, no, they learn. You know, some people, they claim they're visual learners. Some people are, you know, rote memory. I think for me, over the years, I have found that the most, you know, effective way to teach somebody is through pain.
So I know that you used to, like back in our Stern days, when we would go on these types of missions, you would use the you know, the Mets, the mini Mets bat that you get at the Citi Field. It's like a souvenir little bat all the little kids get. It's like, you know, perfect nightstick. And then you ended up taking it out on the road and teaching people a lesson on their kneecaps with a quick snap of that bat on their kneecap. And it would, you know, shatter their kneecaps and shins and leave them in, you know, dramatic amounts of pain and, you know, fractures of their kneecaps and shins and tibias and fibias. Is this better than using the nightstick Mets mini bats? Do you find more gratification in the mini bat or in the facial scrum?
In the facial scrum, it's much more personal and, you know, hands-on, right to it. It's not using the some other instrument. It's really using your hands. You know, you have a little glove, but still, it is much more of a perfect feel for it. And then you could always hide it. You know, it's a lot easier to say it was something else should the law come around. You know, it could just be that they fell into some bushes or something, as opposed to the obvious mark of the bat across the leg.
Have the NetJet people complained about the smell of the glove in the plane from city to city as you've gone on this world tour, facial scrumming people? Have the airplane people complained about the smell, the odor, the death, the almost, it's like finding a body that's been disposed of for a year in a sewer. It really is the smell of a body, a decomposed body, the glove. Are the airline people complaining?
No, because much like the cup, you know, we keep it in a hermetically sealed case when wherever we're traveling to make sure it does not, you know, take some kind of damage that would render it unusable. They are more concerned about that our flight plan just seems to be very inefficient and ineffective. A lot of back and forth. We really need to go, you know, like the teams do, do more of the, you know, Western swing where we hit a bunch of cities in a row before coming back instead of the back and forth cross country that we've been doing so far.
I think it's been really helpful for me that you've taken over this project, because I was really struggling answering everyone's tweets and, you know, instant messengers and all the rest. It's just been nonstop. Like, idiots just keep asking me.
It's just infuriating. Yeah,
it is infuriating. And you've done a great job, and I appreciate you hurting everyone and facial scrumming the whole Southern Hemisphere. Thank you for letting everyone know about our move to Sirius 159. Good job by you. I wanted to say tonight the Pharrell Ballers won again by 30. The spread was 25, I said today, on Coast to Coast, and we covered. We won by 30. And I had like 20 and 8 boards, 6 dimes, and 2 steals. I went off, Mafia, and I didn't even lift a finger. I mean, I just literally was under the basket the whole game, pillar to post, and I just kept getting, you know, dishes, no looks, bounce passes, rebounds, tip-ins. Whenever I left the block, I would get the ball out on the wing and I would start dribbling to the hole like I was going to score, and they'd all double me. And then I'd no look to Killer twice, Coco twice, Derek twice. I was, you would have thought I was Pete Maravich the way I was passing tonight. All no looks. I mean, I'm 56 years old putting up a line like that and 2 steals. I mean, who would have thought? I didn't even want to play. I was like, I'll play, you know, 15 minutes max. I go 5-minute spurts, 5-5-5. Tonight I had to play like, you know, 30 minutes. So I'm used to playing half that. I played 30 tonight because we had a couple guys out. So I had to put on my big boy pants and deal for the Pharrell Ballers. I had to go to work. One of my guys was off shooting. It didn't matter. We filled the hole for him. He couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. So what we did was we just took over. And then the two bigs, Coco and Derek, went off for about 30 apiece. And then Killer and I had about 20 apiece. Money had 20. I mean, it was like 30, 30, 20, 20, 20. I mean, we put a $1.03 on him. I mean, it's just unbelievable, the Pharrell Ballers dealing. By the way, the number 2 team, the second best team allegedly in the league, they got upset by a winless team. So that went well for them tonight. I'm sure they blame me. They always do. So blame Pharrell for your losses. I'm sitting on the sideline picking my nose, and they blame me. I constantly get blamed for everything. I'm sorry I had that 28-6-2 tonight. Check out. Ooh. They were going through the motions. They were lifeless.
I don't like that or condone that at all.
I play it straight up, yo.
All right, Pharrell on the bench, our good friend Mitch Lawrence of NBA Radio on Sirius joins us now to talk a little rack. And I got to tell you, Mitch, I was watching the Knick game tonight. I got home from my game, by the way, 56 years old, and I dropped 20 with 8 boards, 6 dimes, and 2 steals tonight in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
You got to like that type of a line for an old geezer getting good involved.
Good for you. How many turnovers? We keep those?
I don't think I had any turnovers. I missed a couple shots.
Really?
But I didn't have any turnovers. But I played. My team is so sick. I mean, we are so sick. We win every game by 30. We're really good. I played with a couple of monsters, 6'7", 6'5". They both played college ball. And then I got a 6'4", 2 6'3s, and then I got 2 really good guards, 1 old, 1 young, and they just are smart, and they don't make mistakes, and we just ball out. It's great. So anyway, I was watching the Knicks and the Bucks. And the thing was, like, I want to get your thoughts on the Bucks, because last night I watched them play the Sixers. I don't know if you caught that game. And tonight I saw the end of the Knicks game. And I'm talking about when they were down 20 and they came roaring back and literally had the lead for like 1 second. And then basically Pat Connaughton buried them with threes in the last 3 minutes. Yeah. and Connaughton had a huge game. What I saw the last two nights was really the Bucks coming back to life from last year. They've done nothing all season at all until these last two nights. Did you see any of that?
Well, yeah, that's part of it. I mean, look, the Philly team is depleted now. Everybody is out with COVID on that team. So I don't know what you want to draw from that, but I agree. I mean, the Bucks did get off to a shaky start, including that loss to the Knicks out in Milwaukee where they were killing them, and the Knicks came back and beat them. And tonight they made, 26 of their 40 baskets or something crazy, whatever, how many baskets they had. But they had 26 threes, I think, at the end. And so we know they're a great three-point shooting team. They haven't been together in toto. I mean, Middleton, it's either Holiday was out or Middleton's been out. So I still pick them. I pick them to go back to the finals because I still think they're going to be the best team in the East when all is said and done, and it starts with Giannis. And, you know, the Knicks, they can't protect their home court at all. Not worth a damn this year so far. And you knew that they was going to be payback for what happened at Milwaukee. So, yeah, Milwaukee get off to a slow start, but they're still, to me, one of the top, you know, two or three teams in the East. And like I said, I'd pick them again to go to the finals.
They shot 26 of 50 from three.
Yeah. How's that?
But that's 52%. I'll tell you what, here's the deal. Grayson Allen did the same thing he did last night in Philly. He buried five of them.
He's awesome.
He did it again. Connaughton had seven of them. Holiday hit four of them. Portis hit three of them.
Sure.
Giannis two. Hill two.
Forget it.
And it goes down the line. Even Hood had one. Your boy Hood. I just saw. Do you think that Allen, what's his fit in the puzzle? Do you like him on that team?
Yeah.
And I agree with you that Philly didn't have any players. No JoJo, no Harris.
Oh.
But nevertheless, Philly was in that game. It was back and forth until the last 2 minutes.
Yeah, it was. I know. You got to give credit to Philly because they've got, you know, Embiid's out. They've got all kinds of people who are out because of COVID. Tybal, Tobias Harris, he hasn't played in days.
Right.
I think Grayson Allen's a good fit there. He gives them another guy who can shoot, make threes. He can score up the bounce. I mean, he's another role guy. A lot of people criticize the Bucks for not having a good offseason. I thought they lost Bryn Forbes. I thought they did fine. They bring back their – look, they still have – they've got one of the best, you know, young threesomes in Middleton, obviously Giannis, and we saw what Drew Holiday did in the finals last year against Chris Paul, who was hurt, but still, he had a tremendous finals, and they've got the necessary weapons. And so, yeah, I think Milwaukee's going to be right there as long as Giannis stays upright, has no knee trouble. Remember, last couple of years, he's had all kinds of knee issues, and you're a little worried about that, but otherwise, no, they've got a great shot to get back to a finals. I mean, they're going to be right in the thick of it. And Easton, Grayson Allen, I think he helps them a lot.
So the Knicks are at it again. They're 7-5 now, and they had the Garden rocking tonight. They've had it rocking a couple times. Toppin's game seems better than last year to me. He's gone up another flight at least. He's, you know, from the first floor to the second floor. What do you think of Tibbs' team here coming off a 4 spot in the East, failure in the playoffs? They had a really good defensive team. They don't look as good defensively to me this year, frankly, than they did last year because Fournier and Kemba don't play defense the guys that they lost, Peyton and the other one. I can never remember his name.
Bullock.
Bullock.
Yeah. I mean, it's like they brought in guys who were not exactly Tibbs guys, but you saw what happened in the playoffs last year against Atlanta. Julius Randle was awful. He came back to earth. They had nobody could score off the bounce. And it was like Atlanta had six defenders on the court against them at all times. That's the way it looked like. They had a tremendous amount of trouble getting open. So they decided they needed to bring in some offense. So, you know, it's a trade-off. And obviously, Kemba Walker, who's got some knee issues already, as we've seen, he's not a good defensive player. Very small. He can get beaten consistently. And then, you know, Fournier also, he's no Reggie Bullock. So, yeah, I mean, that's the thing is that, you know, the East has gotten better with a lot of teams. Chicago's gotten better. Toronto looks like they're a better team with the kid Scotty Barnes. Indiana with Carlisle, they might not be winning as much now, but they'll be a better team. So the Knicks, they made these changes, and it remains to be seen if they'll help in the long run in terms of, they'll probably have a better offensive team, but defensively they'll have shortcomings. And, you know, now all these teams come into the Garden – knowing that the Knicks are a formidable team and they're looking to put on the show, these visiting teams. So the Knicks have already dropped a bunch of home games, what, three or four home games, and that's what they're finding out. Let's see, right now at home, I've got them at, 2-4 at home, which is a terrible record, but that's what happens when now you're the hunted. And, you know, everybody for years and years, you know, teams are going to be, they might, you know, mail it in if they go into Boston or they go into Philly. But when they come into New York, Scott, you know how it works. They come into the Garden, they want to put on a show as a visiting team, especially the star players. So the Knicks are going to get everybody's best shot at home. And right now they're not playing nearly as well as they have to beat these teams.
So let's talk about the Nets for a second, because I've noticed on this little trip that they're on, three games now, whatever it is, tonight they rolled Orlando big. And I noticed, you know, I know they got blown out by the Bulls in the fourth with the three ball, but they were winning that game in the third, and then they just got lit up. So I want to ask you if you've noticed at all that they're starting to find their way. Because, you know, everybody talks about this team being unbeatable and that if they're healthy, they're going to win it all and all this other rhetoric. But the reality is they haven't played that kind of ball at all. They've come out of the gates, I think, trying to figure out their rotations, who's going to get the burn here, there, and with which, you know, sets, which guys are going to be in there. Do you think they're finding their way now and starting to play better ball?
Well, yeah, but one of their best players was watching Seton Hall tonight in Newark. Right? Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, the only reason people are saying they're unbeatable, nobody can touch them, is when they have Kyrie Irving there. That's the problem now. And so they still have enough, I think, to win, but it's considerably going to be considerably more difficult and obviously more pressure on Durant and Harden without Kyrie there. I mean, a game like Chicago the other night, there are moments in that game where you look at what happened in the fourth quarter and said, well, you know what, if Kyrie's there, how much of a difference would it be? And he's not even hurt. He's just refusing to get the shot, right? So who knows if he's ever going to show up and get the shot, if he's just going to mail in the season because of this whole COVID thing and his stance on being, he's basically an anti-vaxxer. I don't care what he says. So, I mean, they are finding that, you know, they figured out that he's not going to be around. I think anytime you're going to be missing a player at the outset, plus, you know, they're figuring it out, but also, you know, Harden said, he was pretty blunt about what he said. He said he couldn't play any ball over the offseason. It was all about getting that hamstring back right. And so he's going to round into form. It's still going to take him some time. But when he does, you know, they're going to be, in terms of a team with the best 1-2 punch in the league, they're going to be right up there with anybody else. Because Durant, he had 30 points tonight in 29 minutes. I mean, he still comes out on the floor and he can score against anybody. I don't care who it is. So, you know, yeah, without Irving, they're going to be tested more. It's not going to be as easy for them on a lot of nights. They're still going to win a lot, but that obviously is, I mean, if they had Kyrie Irving out there with Harden and Durant, you know, they'd be a much more formidable team. Now you can look at it and say, well, you know what? They're not automatics to do anything. Still have a chance to win, but they're not, it's not a given by any means.
So respectfully, I got 60 seconds right here. Do you think this guy is legitimately going to sit there and not play basketball the entire season because he refuses to get a vaccine?
I tell you what, I wouldn't put it past him. You know, there are a lot of instances in his career where he just looks to sit out games for whatever reason, you know? Plus, he's still getting paid. Like, the Nets were on the road tonight. He got paid for that game, didn't he? I mean, he gets paid for road games, right, or whatever. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, who knows about Kyrie, how he thinks. All I know is he ain't helping him by sitting out there, and it's just a mess. A mess for Steve Nash. A mess for everybody, for the organization.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I got a lot more I want to talk to you about. NBA, can you chill a little bit, Mitch?
Yes. Yes, I'll be
there.
All
right, great. All right, so I want to go west side with you and start talking about these Western Conference teams and the fallout from the Joker and what I'm seeing in San Francisco with Curry going off and what, you know, I'm seeing with all these teams out west. We're talking to Mitch Lawrence on the bench.
No doubt about it.
Things are crazy right now.
Just read a paper.
On second thought, don't.
You're listening to something rock solid. Something to depend on.
Believe in.
Expert information on gaming.
Odds.
And more. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network. You're listening to Farrell on the Bench with Scott Farrell.
right, we're talking to Mitch Lawrence of NBA Radio. I didn't freak out after Joker nailed Markieff Morris in the back of the head and snapped him into Whiplash Smile after the cheap shot he leveled on Joker at midcourt. Everybody got all up in arms about it. Butler snapped. He got fined. Morris got fined. Joker got suspended. And I said last night on the show, Mitch, that like they love Adam Silver. He's a player's commish. He'll never. It's like you could, you know, David Stern, Malice in the Palace, guys lost the entire season. This guy suspends everybody one game. Doesn't matter. You commit murder, you get a one game suspension. What did you think of the whole thing?
Oh, it's a cheap shot by Morris. I mean, come on, that was ridiculous. Eric's supposed to call it a take foul. He was trying to take him out. You saw the play. He precipitated it, and I had no problem with Joker going back at him. If you're going to hit somebody like that, you better not turn your back on him, because a guy like Joker, he's gonna come back at you, which he did. And you know what? Okay, so he got a one-game suspension. But, hey, it's like the guy is disrespected. I don't know what it is, because he's an international player. The players, a lot of guys, I don't think an MVP player like that. It's amazing that he got that type of treatment from a guy like Mike Morris. And I know they're going to play in a couple of weeks, and everybody's already anticipating that his brothers are going to go into Miami in their camouflage outfits, the Jokic boys. And they're going to take on Martin. Nothing's going to happen. You know, the league is going to say, you know, talk to the referees. They'll send a crew down there of no nonsense guys. And there's going to be no problems. But it was that's the way the league used to be. I think guys of our age and, you know, what we've seen over the years, that was the par for the course in the NBA back in the day. Now all these other people are going crazy about what Jokic did. Hey, he retaliated, and I gave him every right to do it because of the cheap shot he took. And that was NBA ball back in the day when it was more physical and there was intimidation. And so I'm glad he went back at Morris. He deserved that.
You and I saw that intimidation at the Garden a million times with the Knicks, and we've seen it with the Pistons. We saw it even with the Bulls. Every team in the league had dirty players.
Yep. No, that's the way it was. But, you know, what they did was they felt they had to clean up everything, and they felt they couldn't have any more fights, especially after what happened. You mentioned, you know, running a crazy Ron Artest and the whole Malice at the Palace deal. And so, you know, it's good for the game that they did eliminate a lot of stuff. But then, as we saw, you know, went too far, because then they basically took defense out of the game, and it became a totally offensive sport. That's why the beginning of this year has been so great to watch, because we're no longer seeing James Harden just automatically get to the free throw line 15 times a game, or Lillard's now complaining because they're not just getting all the calls. It went way too much. You know, it wasn't authentic basketball. I think Steve Kerr came up with that term. It's a lot more authentic now when guys aren't going to the line all the time, but it's still hard to play defense, you know, because back then, when the era we're talking about, it was a lot of hand-to-hand combat, and they outlawed all that stuff. But it's good to see. And the other thing is, they want to make games, you know, they're trying to get games down to 2 hours. And what slows down games, besides reviews? A parade to the free throw line. So they're trying to do that. So, yeah, we've taken you and I and everybody else who's been around the league a long time, how the league has changed, the sport has changed. But I'm glad to see now it's a little more, you know, taking that, you know, cracking down on these offensive players who think they can get away with anything. And now they're complaining because it's not the same sport that they knew over the last couple of years, because it's no longer all geared to the offense. I kind of like the way things have gone.
So what do you think of Mitch Lawrence with us, the Lakers, the way they've looked? And I'm watching them play the Heat tonight. Yeah. And, you know, the Heat are one of the best teams in the league, let alone the East.
Yeah, well, you know, the Lakers have 12 new players. We know they got Russ, and we know what they got with Russ. They're going to get turnovers and some bad shots. And here's the problem for the Lakers. LeBron is no longer indestructible, right? He's been hurt again. Now, this is two or three times over the last couple of years where he's going to miss probably significant time because of this ab strain. And so, you know, Anthony Davis, you never know how long he's going to stay on the court. And although I thought Westbrook would do his best to fit in, I just don't like the makeup of the team, because LeBron's age, he's going to be, 37 in December, in his 19th year. He's now more susceptible to injuries. You got Anthony Davis, whose track record is he's going to get hurt. And Russell Westbrook is going to continue to play the way he's always played, which is you can't count on him to make the right plays. He's throwing up wild shots. He's turning the ball over. So I think that the Lakers, look, because they've got those three guys on the court, they're going to win their share of games, but I don't see them going very far in the playoffs. I pick Phoenix again to get back to the finals because I think they got the best team out in the West, and they did a hell of a job last year.
Wow. So, and they're starting to play better ball. That's for sure. The Suns. And, but before we get into the Suns, take me to, San Francisco and what you think of what Curry's doing with the Warriors.
Oh, great. I mean, look, they don't have Klay Thompson yet and they don't have Wiseman, but between Curry and Green, and how about the play of Poole? I mean, he's been a tremendous player for them. I don't know if he's going to be used in trade bait, but now the schedule's been real easy for him. You know, they've played a lot of patsies. They haven't played really great opponents, but the way Curry has come out of the gate and the way that they still are the premier offensive team when it comes to passing the ball, probably the best passing team still, and they're number one defensive rating. So add those two things, and they've got off to a magnificent start. I just can't wait to see what Klay Thompson looks like when he comes back. He's been off for 2 years, and you get Wiseman back, they're going to be loaded. And so they're a top four team in the West. People are picking them to win the title. I don't know about that. But, you know, Curry's still playing. He's going to be an MVP candidate, and they're playing at a tremendous level. I just want to see him go up against some tougher teams. And, you know, they'll get them in the schedule, and they, you know, there's nothing – how can you complain about anything they've done so far?
I mean, can you believe this guy dropping a 50 burger with 10 dimes and how in the last two seasons that he's able to go out literally off screens on his own, basically, and create and score as many points as he does every single night? It's like every night he goes off.
You know, they came out with that top 75 team a couple of weeks ago. It's actually 76 players.
Right.
And he knew that since 96, he knew LeBron was a lock to make it. Kobe was a lock to make it. And Duncan, even Steph Curry's a lock to make it. Not just because he's he was back-to-back MVP and a unanimous choice a few years ago, but the guy's been arguably one of the top, you know, greatest shooters we've ever seen, one of the greatest offensive players we've ever seen, and he's not slowing down. So, yeah, I can believe what he's doing. I mean, the fact that he can knock down 9-10 threes in a game, and he's done that over, 30 times in his career, and nobody else has come close to that. I mean, he's still an amazing story, and he's great to watch. Everything is just great, what he does for the game on and off the court. It's just a credit to him and his family. He's phenomenal. I mean, you know, he's like a perfect player for that franchise. And now when people say the Warriors are caught between winning now and building for tomorrow, listen, when you have a guy like Steph Curry, you owe it to him and your franchise to do everything in your power to go for everything right now. You don't worry about next season, you know, 5 years down the road, what happens. Right now, their big thing is they got to see what happens when Klay Thompson comes back. And are they going to go make another move? Are they going to package some young players like Poole and Wiseman and try to get a Ben Simmons or somebody else and try to help Curry get back to a championship and win another title? That's going to be fascinating to see how that plays out, Scott.
Do you think, Mitch, that Utah will ever figure out how to win in the playoffs? Because they win every night,
no,
and you can't beat
no.
them at home, but they can't no. win in the playoffs.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I know. I'm not. You know, to me, part of the deal is, I love Donovan Mitchell, but I just don't think he's an elite player, and he's their best player. And if you're going to win a title, you got to have a Giannis Antetokounmpo. You got to have a Kawhi Leonard when he's right, and you saw what he did for a few years ago. You got to have a LeBron. You got to have a Steph. He's not in that class. He's just not in that class. And the other thing is, and I bang on a little bit because it's just obvious in the playoffs that a guy like Gobert, who does great work in the regular season, he's a very good player. He's way overpaid. You know, he wins Defensive Player of the Year awards all the time. They've got a lot of their cap invested in him. He doesn't change playoff series. He's not like Bill Russell. He's a great defensive player, but he doesn't make the impact that he needs to make time and again. An offensive end, he's not much at all. So, no, I'm not a big believer in Utah. They'll be a very good regular season team again. They might win the West in the regular season, but I think Phoenix is better equipped to go deeper in the playoffs, a team like that. I think Denver, even without Jamal Murray, if they get him back, we'll see. But they've got the Joker We'll see about the Lakers. And obviously Golden State with Curry. I don't look at Utah as a real legitimate threat to win.
Oh, respectfully, I have 2 minutes. What is the deal? Why won't the Suns give Ayton a deal?
I don't know. And, you know, now, you know, the buzz was they don't feel he loves the game enough. I don't know. That's a crock. I mean,
that's he's crazy.
Their third most important player. We saw what happened in the finals. We saw what happened in the playoffs in their road to the finals. That's the one thing that could upset the apple cart out there is that if he's upset and he's not playing all the time because he's got this leg injury, who knows if it's totally legitimate or not. It probably is. But, hey, when a guy's not getting paid, you know what, there might be some nights where he goes, you know what, I'm not going to go out there and play tonight. My leg is hurting. I'm not, you know, hey, if you were getting paid what Michael Porter Jr. is getting, you could make sure that he'd be checking the clock. He'd be playing every single night. That's the one thing I worry about with Phoenix. That could upset that team in terms of the whole chemistry issue because everybody's been paid. Bridges got paid. Landry Shamet got paid. But they haven't paid him. So I think it's a disgrace, really.
Yeah, it's crazy. But Bridges is taking his game to another level. And I thought he was sick in the playoffs and the finals. And I've seen him this year already humiliating the Lakers and whoever else. I mean, he is just something else. And then I can't even believe some of these other teams like Washington, what they've done. That's kind of blown my mind. Oh. And I'm not surprised at what the Bulls are doing with DeRozan and having Zach and Vooch. I got about 60 seconds, Mitch.
Well, I'll tell you what. I watched the Bulls tonight against Dallas, and Lonzo Ball shot the three ball unbelievably. He made 7 or 8 threes. They upgraded that position totally, and they got Caruso, who's a real good winning-type player who LeBron loved. Lakers shouldn't have let him go. He's now a backup. They got DeRozan, they've got Ball, they've got, you know, to help LaVine and Vucevic out. The Bulls are for real. They had a nice win the other night against the Nets. The thing with Washington is they did a good job parlaying Russell Westbrook into three former Lakers who can help them, two guys who've won titles. Kuzma, right, and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, they're going to help them.
Right.
Montrezl Harrell's going to help. They got Dinwiddie. Bradley Beal, you know what, he's got some players around him now. They're going to make the playoffs. I'm not saying they're world beaters by any stretch, but they're definitely a much better team than when they had Russell Westbrook.
Wow, no doubt. Hey, Mitch, you're just awesome, dude. That was just sick doing a double shot with you talking NBA rack. I could, like, go to bed right now happy and have good dreams. Thanks, brother. Always a pleasure. We'll catch up again real soon. Always a blast having you on the bench.
Enjoy it, Scott, as always. Take care.
My man, Mitch Lawrence of NBA Radio on Sirius. Right now, the Lakers up 33-30 on the Heat. Nuggets up 2 on the Pacers, 9 minutes left. Suns up 10 on the Blazers, going to the fourth. Warriors up 13 on the T-Wolves, 8 left in the second. It's Pharrell on a bench. With people. Everybody expects every team in the effing league to win the Super Bowl. One team wins. The rest of them lose.
Nothing for you.
How about that? One last indignity.
I just saw your boy Krusty Louie, Udonis Haslem, playing for the Heat. They got him given some burn, and he's in the game, and they gave him the pill on the wing on a mid-range. He hit about a 15-footer on the baseline. He pulled up and nailed it. I couldn't believe it. Even Dwight Howard was laughing. I mean, they were all smiling, seeing the old geezer bust one off. The oldest player, 41, active in the NBA is Haslem. And he's out there playing right now. I have seen it all. I mean, this guy, he is forever. He has been playing in the NBA forever. And he's still out there filling it up. It's a good game. Lakers 35-34 over the Heat. Your boy Dwight Howard getting in all kinds of foul trouble in this game. He just smacked Lowry in the face and I mean, knocked his like eyes, nose, teeth. He got him with his hand with a slap down his face. And Lowry went to the line and hit both. But and then he got another one. He just keeps running into Lowry and picked up another one hitting Lowry. And he's finding himself in foul trouble. And you know who they're giving all this burn to on the Lakers is Melo. He's getting massive play. And then Russ is out there just yelling at people. He's yelling at Howard. He's yelling at everybody, yelling at the refs. I mean, your boy Brody is so angry and so mad. I just saw him throw the ball away, too. He's all over the place. He's not the player he was, I'll tell you that much. He looks like he's a mess in Los Angeles, at least so far.
What does VA mean to me?
A place for my daughter to call home. Thanks to the VA home loan.
A new lease on life. The best healthcare team I've ever had is here at VA.
And education and the opportunity to open doors I never thought possible with my GI Bill.
The financial support I need to manage the disabilities I developed because of my service.
Get what you earn. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.